Blessed week in the Lord. A lot of
John Rieger.
I was driving up here this weekend. Last time I was up at Green Lake was probably about, it must have been about 15, 20 years ago. A lot of things going on, but I think there's real power when men gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come together on mornings like this to kind of get up, look at God's creation, contemplate what he has done, and that his promise is that something's a lot better coming. Praise the Lord. This morning, the gentleman that organized the men's retreat this year asked me to do a little devotional on prayer. Well, the Lord led me in a little different direction, but prayer is essential. And I just want to start out, Heavenly Father, this morning we gather in your name. Father, we want you to just open up our hearts this morning. We want to hear from you. A lot of these guys have come from a long ways away, Lord, and we just want to hear your voice. We want to just hear from your word today, Lord, how you want us to walk each day, keep our eyes open to the things around us, cherish our family, pray for our family if it's broken. Bring us together this morning, dear God, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide just my tongue, Lord. Days like this, my mind goes in all kinds of directions, and I just ask for your power, Lord, as I speak to my brothers in Christ here. And I pray if there's anyone that's contemplating a decision for you today, that your words and not any of ours would touch their heart and draw them so close this day, oh God, in this weekend. And a lot of us need encouragement, Lord. It's been a tough week, tough month, tough year. But today we lay that all aside, knowing that you are in control and you have our lives in your hands if we only allow it. So thank you, Lord, for just gathering in this place. And I ask that you send your love here today, Lord. And I ask it in Jesus' name. God speaks to each one of us. And he tells us that I am the risen one who shines upon you always. You worship a living deity, not some adulterous man-made image. Your relationship with me is meant to be vibrant and challenging as I invade more and more areas of your life. Do not fear change, for I am making you a new creation. With old things passing away and new things continuing on the horizon, when you cling to the old ways and sameness, you resist my work within you. I want you to embrace all that I'm doing in your life, finding your security in me alone. It is easy to make an idol of routine, finding security within the boundaries you build around your life. Although each day contains 24 hours, every single one represents a unique set of circumstances. Don't try to force fit today into yesterday's mold. Instead, ask me to open your eyes so that you can find all that I have prepared for you in this present day and life. Thank you, Lord. The title of the message that the Lord laid on my heart probably about a month and a half ago is being the third man in a four-man relay. And that's really, as I contemplated it, there was a three-prong message that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. Number one, the gentlemen leaders of this retreat asked me to talk about prayer. Wondrous thing that prayer is, on your handout sheet, I didn't get too much in detail because I'm hoping that you will go home in your quiet time and contemplate some of these scriptures. First of all, in prayer at our local congregation, I encourage the guys, we have a meeting called Men's Prayer on Wednesday evenings. And I told them to contemplate the verses in 1 Kings, the entire chapter 8. Now, we're not going to go into that much detail this morning, but what encouraged me on prayer is that this particular part of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 8, it talks about how King Solomon, we know him as the richest man in the world, he had riches that were just boundless. He, in the beginning of 8, it says, then King Solomon summons into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and chiefs and the Israelite families. He called them all together. He gathered them together, and he had that sort of power. As we get into chapter 8, it talks about that power of prayer. Also, it also talks in that particular scripture, it was intriguing to me, that Solomon asked, but will God really dwell on earth? The question, even in the Old Testament, will God come down from that high place? Will he come and will he share with us and walk with us and be among us? And we know that from the New Testament that Jesus Christ has come. He's come fully man, fully God. Also in this particular scripture, as Jesus taught us, is to be a servant. I couldn't believe as I read through chapter 8 how many times Solomon, being this wisdom, this man of great wealth, unfortunately he had 700 wives, I don't know how he handled that. But he said, we must be servants. He came to prayer, and in chapter 8, verse 37, it says, when famine or plague comes on the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of the cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among the people in Israel, being aware of the afflictions of their own hearts, and spreading out their hands towards the temple, then hear from heaven. In these last few days, I looked upon these, I don't know if anyone's been out to California, but look at these, on Highway 5, this main artery that goes to the north of Los Angeles. And with a few little driplets of rain, how that highway is just shut down. I don't know if anybody's here has been seeing the news lately. I started contemplating in a flood and how the world wants to say, that flood never happened. Can you imagine that waters that came down that God sent? Those waters that drenched and covered the whole earth and how it changed the complexity of the surrounding lands. And here Solomon says, when these things come, pray. But our country doesn't pray anymore. You know, God is calling men at gatherings like this. There's gatherings in Milwaukee, the luncheons that are taking place, all these things where men are gathering together. And God's word encourages us as men. Here's Solomon, we see what he thought prayer would be. And he took it to prayer. He was a man, so many times we're guys that we run into a problem in life and it takes something great in our life to move us to God. Oh, this is going wrong. My marriage is hurting. My kids are in trouble, whatever it might be. And God takes those opportunities to draw us close to him. But here's Solomon having everything. Still knew that prayer was so important for the condition of the country and his people. Disobedience. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. The precious word of God tells us that after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him, and all who had seen all the great things the Lord had done. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And then they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath in Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Gash. Now, here the Bible tells us that there was these very devoted men to God that prayed, that lifted up their hands and worshiped God. And all of a sudden, where this message comes from, being the third man in a four-man relay, it tells us in God's precious word that in verse 10 of Judges 2, but after that, as these godly men were taken up to heaven, after that, the whole generation had been gathered to the ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Sounds a lot like today. We have a generation that's growing up that does not know the Lord. We see the troubles that surround us, and the answer is Jesus Christ. You know, we have to go boldly from this place. Being the third man in a four-man relay, I started to contemplate what being a third man is. If you guys, I guess in the Olympics, that's one of the things I like is that four-man relay where they're handing off the baton. And I always think about that third guy. He's got to be a guy that can't be discouraged, because a lot of times you have the sprinter or the fastest guy taking off position one. Number two, you usually have an endurance guy in there. Number three, they got to find some kind of sucker to take that place, because he might have the rest of the field ahead of him. He knows he's got to pull ahead. He's got to hand off the baton. He's got to hang in there. The third man. I think our generation is the third man. We got to pick up our encouragement. We have to pass it on to a new generation. You know, the Bible gives us such an encouraging illustration of Paul and Timothy. I contemplate that a lot. We hear a lot about Paul, we think of Timothy, but I have to believe that Timothy was there as the younger man, that every once in a while he had to give Paul a good kick in the pants. He had to say, hey, let's stay encouraged on this deal. And of course, Paul was always there to teach Timothy. And I believe that every man in this room, we have to seek out guys in a personal relationship, an accountability person, that we can have a Timothy and we can have a Paul in our lives. Someone that we can look up to, question, answer, maybe give some advice, but have a younger man. A lot of times I find in my life, my son that came up here, my son Ian, he's my Timothy. All of a sudden, a young man who's grown up, I know a lot of you guys here probably have kids, but and I think Ian wouldn't mind me sharing that as he was growing up, he went through public school and had a lot of trouble conveying with other kids, so he started homeschooling. And I remember one day being at work and I heard the dumpster door open up. And I hear stuff getting thrown into the dumpster because at that time he was being homeschooled. And my wife was just yelling. She says, I'm through with him. So he's one of the only guys that he's been expelled from homeschool. But God grabbed hold of his heart. And I see this young man, and I'm not pumping him up. I'm pumping up Jesus Christ that moved in his life. And he's my Timothy right now. A lot of times I'm walking around. He works in my family business together with me. And all of a sudden I'll be heading off that wrong track. And he'll say something to me, and he'll draw me back. And then we have those times as a father and dad together too, as a son and father together, that we just sit and we share. And it's a blessing. But it always wasn't that way. I can remember my wife being at church after one of these times and saying, Lord, you can have him. He's yours. I'm done. I can't. She just dedicated him to the Lord. Do this with your kids, guys, your grandchildren. We're the third man in a four-man relay. I mean, time is short, guys. The finish line is seen. We have to hand off to a new generation with fresh strength. And a lot of us here are really maybe discouraged today. Maybe there's something we're going through that we don't know how we're going to handle it, what we're going to do. Hand it off to the Lord. You know, and then pray. You know, as Solomon in the book of Judges, and again, I encourage you, go back to 1 Kings chapter 8, and read that entire chapter. And I think it's how the church has to rise up. The church has to rise up again. The men of the church have to rise up. You know, as great as we have these gals that are stepping up in the church, you know, God has called each one of us to have special gifts. And we do have special gifts that we can share. God also wants us to go out of our comfort zone. But God, his mission is always comfortable. This morning on the way up here, I'm really easy talking in front of guys, but I'll tell you what, Satan will work on you. You know, Satan will put stuff in your way. You know, I had to stop at a rest stop on the way up here and just go, man. I'm cruising around and go, hey, where can I stop? And my son Ian is familiar with the area. He goes, oh, there's a rest stop coming up. Thank you, Lord. It tells us in the book of Joel to hear and obey. And this is another scripture I encourage you at a later date to look up. This talks about in Joel chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. God's precious word tells us, hear this, you elders. And I look around the room here, there's a lot of elders. Okay, great, praise God. Elders and these elderly men, we are the third man in this four-man relay. Hear this, you elders. Listen to all who have lived in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? It tells us to tell your children and let your children tell it to their children and to their children and to the next generation. Our schools no longer will be proclaiming Jesus Christ, prayer, the Ten Commandments. We're the third man. We have to pass it on, guys. We have to take the time with our grandkids. If we're uncles, take it with your nieces and nephews. And you might find resistance, but plant the seeds. Plant the seeds of just listening to them, taking time. In my early life of business, I did not do that. I faced, even at one time, divorce. I was so tied up in my business, my wife just came at me one day, and I thought everything was cool. And I had to turn to God. A lot of prayer saved my marriage. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, love the Lord your God. God's word tells us these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands I give you today are to be on your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home or when you walk along the road, when you lie down or when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them to your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I know as I came to the Lord, I was all excited about this new found freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. I posted on our home in Milwaukee, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And every time I look at that, it puts me in an examination point. How am I walking my family? And there's not rockiness, I'll tell you. Usually as you're following the Lord, look for the pitfalls. There's going to be snares. There's going to be things in your life that all of a sudden the evil one will find that crack in your armor. He'll come in. But tell your children. I can remember the royal lineage that actually started at a retreat like this. Many years ago, I was seeking the Lord. The Lord's always looking for me. I found the Lord when I was 32 years old. And a man in my congregation that we made eye contact. And there was something about it. It was just a special moment. And I found myself that day, my wife Carol wasn't in church that morning, but I invited him over for lunch. And I went home and I said, I invited this couple over for lunch. She goes, what? What'd you do? You know, I said, it was just something that invited me. And this man was part of the royal lineage that shared Christ with me. And I don't know if many of you might know him, maybe not, but his name was Mark McDonald. But how that royal lineage started in my life was actually from this group. The history goes that Carl Gingler, and I think he's on the schedule for today.
Tomorrow lunch.
He shared the Lord with Jim Rodrian. Oh, actually, it started with Jerry Miller. Jerry Miller's in a nursing home right now. I don't know if anyone here knows Jerry Miller. Jerry Miller told Howard. Howard told Jim Rodrian. Jim Rodrian shared in his office with Mark McDonald. Mark McDonald shared with me. And that's how it went. God's got a plan, and this world is small. And I thank God each day that he touched my heart and how merciful he is. Love the Lord your God. As men, we have a unique opportunity to gather together, because when men gather together and they pray and they meet like this, the gates of hell just shake. Satan doesn't want us to meet together. Satan doesn't want us to share our testimony with one another. Satan doesn't want us to do acts of Christian kindness. And some of the easiest ways to share the Lord is when somebody asks why. Why are you like this? Why are you happy when something's going wrong? Why you have all this turmoil in your life, and why are you so calm and happy and joyous? It gives us a unique opportunity to tell them about the Lord and what the Lord has done in our lives. And yet we try to carry a burden for the lost. I have a question for you gentlemen this morning. What is 750,000 miles long? And just to give perspective to that, 750,000 miles is a line that would go 750,000 miles is a line that would go 30 times around the earth. And this particular line grows at 20,000 miles a day. And that would be those who do not know Christ. This world is filled and growing with unbelievers, people that are going to damnation. And how do we reach them? I remember the man who led me to the Lord, he talked a lot about prayer. And I remember Mark looking me in the eye and saying, and Mark was a pretty direct guy. He said, do you pray with your kids and over your meal at the restaurants and as you gather and whatever? I go, no, why? He goes, well, why don't you pray over your food? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. And then Mark shared with me how Christ comes and the church comes to offend your heart, to change you. It takes something in your heart to offend you that Christ can get in there and rejuvenate and repair and draw you close. I want to encourage you guys today. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's laying on my heart that someone here might be at this time offended with the church. Take it to prayer with the Lord. He wants to repair. He wants to repair marriages. He wants to restore families. In Psalm 89, verse 1, forgive me, Satan stole it here. There we go. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. The message today here is being the third man in a four-man relay. Number one, it requires a lot of prayer, a lot of quiet time with the Lord. Being a busy businessman, I know that's something that I find hard to come by sometimes, is that quiet time. But it's in those quiet times when God really can speak to you. Find yourself a man of accountability, somebody you can share with. Also, try to carry around your 10 most wanted. Pray for 10 more guys. Because that line is growing by 20,000 miles a year, a day, excuse me. And God wants us to be that third man to hand off to a new generation. God comes to us this morning on this day. God tells us to grow strong in the light of my presence. Your weakness does not repel me. On the contrary, it attracts my power, which is always available to flow into yielded hearts. Do not condemn yourself for your constant need of help. Instead, come to me without gaping neediness. Let the light of my love fill you. A yielded heart does not whine or rebel when the going gets rough. It musters the courage to thank me, even during hard times. Yielding yourself to my will is ultimately an act of trust. In quietness and trust is your strength. Now, some of you might be facing something today that you don't understand. I didn't come here prepared for this, but the Lord has this morning. If any of you need a fresh filling of God's presence this morning, on this day, this glorious day, I'd like you to just raise your hand right now. If anyone needs a fresh filling. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for your faithfulness. Have your way in this room. Some of you may need a fresh filling of fatherhood or husbandhood or something that will display Christ's love in your family. If that be you, raise your hand. I'm going to have you guys come up here. We're going to pray together, please. Just step forward. Our Heavenly God is calling men. My brothers. He's calling men to be anointed in their families. He's calling men to be anointed in their workplace. Father God. special day of war. The brothers are coming before you, and they need your help, Lord. They need your word in the situations, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In our place of business and decisions to be taking place are children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you strengthen my brothers here, Lord, come down this morning as time of devotion to you, Lord. Lord God, you hold our life in your hands, Lord. Help us to realize it, Lord. Your gift of healing in our lives, Lord. Let us pass it on. Let people be encouraged, Lord, and strengthened by you. Father God, we come to you today. We just praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, to these men that have just gathered together in your name. Father God, we come in our emptiness, Lord, that we need you this morning. Father God, we thank you for the display of your mercy and love in our lives. Father, we commend. Some of us might be facing you, Lord, in our marriages in those times, Lord, that we have to just dedicate it into your hands. Wayward children, Lord, our bodies may be facing something we don't understand. We leave it into your hands. You are the God that heals. Your precious word says we are by your blood and by your stripes we are healed. We thank you for that precious cross that is now empty, Lord, with the promise. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for this time and just gathering together. And I pray for each one of my brothers here, Lord, and the trials that they face, that Satan would be repelled from our lives, Lord. We know as we walk closer with you, the snares are going to become more numerous. And help us to just put your light on those snares, Lord, where you don't want us to step. Father, we thank you for this day. We commend this day into your hands, O God, and ask that you would touch the hearts of those who do not know you. Father, I contemplate the many times I contemplate the cross and how when you were on that cross, I was on your mind, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you hung on that cross and you were naked, Lord. You know, we look at the pictures and you were covered with a towel and whatever, but you stood naked on that cross, and yet you come to us, Lord, and you say, go forth and just share me with other people. Give us a fresh new boldness, Lord. Father, I thank you in advance for the answers that you're sending on the way. I pray for any discouragement that might be facing my brothers today. We take this time of devotion unto you and we kiss and love your precious word. Pray for a new generation, Lord. We pray for our country. Pray for the church, Lord. You have ordained the family, you have ordained the government, and you have ordained the church. And we commend them in your hands, Lord. Yes. And Father, it's going to require a lot of prayer. But we thank you, Lord, that you always hear our prayer. Help us to be bold men that would take it to the Lord. And you hear our prayer. So, Lord, we just thank and praise you for these bold men that are standing before you right now, Lord. And we're saying, in our weakness, you are our help. So Lord, send a Timothy into our life, send a Paul into our life, and we pray that the ministry on this earth would grow and that many more would hear the good news. For it says that when one comes to the Lord, all heaven rejoices. We pray for the lives of all the men that have come to this retreat, Lord. We pray that they would grow close to you. We pray that the fires at home would be kept burning and would be not burning out of control. We thank you, Lord, for times like this. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Okay.
this time, is there anybody like to share something in devotion, or might have something that this weekend that touched your heart? Do we have anything to share? Well, God is working. Remember, the day's not through yet either. Lots to go forward. But we commended the day into his hands, and he is good. Okay, with that, I'm going to let it. Bob, you're going to come forward. You have a couple messages? Or
Breakfast.
Okay, remember to pray over your food. Like Mark McDonald, you pray over your food? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Offend people. And you'll be blessed. A lot of times they come up and go, you'll get more compliments. Man, I haven't seen anybody pray over their food in a long time. Thank you. So, praise God. Have a great day, guys. Have a great day, guys. Have a great day, guys. Have a great day, guys.